June 29th, 2001.
Rami's going to explain it, Pamela told Arthur when he'd picked her up at 6 this morning for another odyssey to Rudyard. She had persuaded herself overnight, but Arthur suspected even Pamela did not completely believe it. After 9 months in practice in the big city, she was already beginning to acquire a skeptical air. But this morning, he would not quarrel with anyone about what was possible. He drove, but his heart was airborne. Right now, a beautiful, russet-haired woman slept in his bed, a woman with slender shoulders and a network of golden freckles on her back. He, Arthur Raven, had exhausted himself making love to a woman he desired, a woman he had desired for so long that she was the image of desire. He spoke to Pamela about the case, but his mind, like a homing signal, came back to Jillian. At the institution, Arthur and Pamela waited, as always. When Arthur phoned the office, his assistant read him the motion that Muriel had filed this morning with the Court of Appeals, asking it to bar further proceedings in Gandalf's case. She'd included transcripts of both depositions, Genevieve's and Erno's, and argued what Arthur would have in her place. The issue was not Erdai, but Rami. The sole question for the court was whether a substantial basis existed to believe that Rami Gandalf had not had a fair opportunity previously to contest the charges against him. Genevieve's testimony, obviously reluctant, had only increased the sum total of evidence of Gandalf's guilt. In that light, the litigation had gone on long enough. Arthur and Pamela would have to begin framing a response shortly, a challenging task if Rami did not have some answer to Genevieve. Rami had to know why his lawyers had abruptly appeared. The inmates were inveterate TV watchers, and the prison grapevine, the chief vehicle for news of the world outside, moved at the speed of the internet. Yet Rami, chained hand and foot, sauntered to his side of the glass in the attorney room, looking thin and lost, but virtually effervescent.
Hey, how y'all doing?
He asked Pamela, as he did every time, whether she'd brought her wedding gown. To Rami, it was a social call. In point of fact, he was growing accustomed to visitors. The Reverend Dr. Blythe and his minions were here often, events Arthur could trace because of the regularity with which Blythe's harsh rhetoric was echoed in whatever mangled form by his client. We've had a setback, Arthur said, then realized that the term was probably beyond Rami, who had great difficulty with nuance. Rather than explain, Arthur simply asked him if he remembered Genevieve Carrier from the airport.
Black, ain't she?
White.
Kind of plump?
Right.
And she got this gold cross with a little sapphire she's always wearing.
Arthur recalled the jewel, only now that Rami mentioned it. There was no faulting a thief's eye. He found his throat thickening around the next question. Well, did you ever tell her you wanted to kill Louisa Ramardi? Rami narrowed his face to a walnut.
I don't think I done said that to her. Mm-mm. I think the onlyest one I got on like that was the other dude. And ain't nobody seed him in years.
Like what?
You know, killing and all that. Her, the lady.
You did say that?
But I'm saying he gone and all that other dude. He got himself cracked. And even before them police came down on me, he doing a fed time or he dead, how I figure.
What dude are we talking about?
Dude, what was getting them airline tickets from the lady?
Arthur looked down at his yellow pad. Pamela and he had talked to Rami countless times and never heard a word about airline tickets.
Are you talking about Pharaoh? Asked Arthur.
Rami actually smiled.
That's him. That's what he's calling himself. Couldn't hardly remember his name.
Pamela inquired if Rami had any memory of Pharaoh's last name.
Might be I know another name, but all I recollect is Pharaoh.
He spelled it out in four letters. F-A-R-O. Pamela smiled fleetingly.
And how did you meet him? Arthur asked.
I ain't too sure about that, Anna. I knowed him a while, but I ain't seen him in a long time. Then I run across him in a club. He had something going where he was telling me he could unload hot airline tickets and never get cracked or nothing, pushing them through some company. So he had in mind if maybe I knowed somebody might get some tickets for him, be good for us both. That's how that lady got into it.
Louisa. Remind us how you knew Louisa, said Arthur.
She'd been taking some stuff off me, actually,
Arthur suggested he continue.
Asked that other lady, Lisa, one night, said I knowed somebody might want to buy some extra tickets. She wasn't too interested to start, but I kept axing. Pharaoh, he said this here was real money. And finally she say she gonna meet up with this dude just to be done with it. Was over there by Gus's, and I was kind of walking by the window because old Gus was there, and I couldn't go in. She seemed to be shaking her head mostly. But Pharaoh, he must have told her something good, because no more than a week later, she gave me a nice handful of green money, oh, mine for doing a hookup and all, and I didn't hear no more of it. So one day I was on the streets, and yo, man, it's that Pharaoh, and it falls out, man, he and this lady, Lisa, they've been doing something together every month or two, and I ain't getting no more. Pharaoh, he like, I thought for sure she'd be kicking down to you. She sure as hell getting some on her end to do that. So I told him I was going to kill her next I see her, holding out on me like that. That ain't right, not at all. And she knowed it, too, even though she wouldn't admit it. We scream and holler some, but in the end, she gave me that necklace thing that shut me up.
The cameo?
Exactly. She gave me that to hold on to, because she been afraid I was carrying on so round there at the airport, bad-mouthing with one person and another. She gonna lose her job. Said that necklace was the most precious thing to her with her baby's pictures inside. And once I had that, I was gonna know she's getting me the money. Only she didn't never get round to it.
So you killed her, said Arthur. Rami sat straight back.
No. Hell no. I ain't the kind to kill nobody. I just woofing a little, cause she made me look so bad with my man, Pharaoh, and all.
It was Pamela who then put the right question to their client. Why didn't you tell us this, Rami, any of it? We've talked with you about this case I don't know how many times.
You didn't never ask? I told all them lawyers what acts.
There was always a point with Rami when belief in his utter guilelessness evaporated, or more properly, where it was revealed as yet another mask. He may have had an IQ south of 75, but he knew how to be deceitful.
I ain't killed nobody, he repeated. I ain't the kind.
Then even he seemed to acknowledge the pointlessness of his protest. His shoulders lost shape, and he looked away.
That don't mean they ain't gonna kill me, though, do it?
Arthur would do his duty and fight, but there was nothing to substantiate Erno, while Genevieve's version was consistent with all the known facts. Its sincerity was bolstered by her reluctance. Worst of all, as Arthur now knew, what she'd said was true.
No, said Arthur, it doesn't mean that.